Isles, presented to you by Isles Blog. I am your host, Jesse Funk.
I'm Gray Nimzik.
And it is 2016, and we are back doing episodes.
Yeah, first episode of the new year, first episode in a while. A lot to catch up on.
That actually leads perfectly into our first topic of the current state of the New York Islanders. It's weird.
It's really weird.
Because technically, we're in the third spot, you know, second in the Metro, you know, third in the Eastern Conference at 49 points. But it's like, you look at, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are in the 11th spot. They have 42 points. It's only, like, 7 points separating. The East is really close this year.
Like, really, outside of Washington, it's them and then, like, pretty much the rest of the conference, all within like eight points of each other.
Florida, Florida is number two with 52 points, and that's like...
Well, yeah, and they're on a 10-game win streak, too.
Yeah.
So it's a weird year, and I don't know, like this, like last year, the Islanders, they had this thing about them where you didn't want to miss anything that happened.
I agree.
And this year, I don't know if it's the move, I don't know if it's just that we were expecting more out of them this year, I don't know what it is, but it's not there this year.
No, yeah, if you want to relate, I mean, I remember reading articles about the Islanders are actual, like, cup contenders last year. I don't know which site wrote it, but I remember reading that and being like, wait, what? Like, there was, like, that mojo to them last year, which you don't get this year. And I tweeted out the other day, I was like, I'm worried about the team. But then, like, you look at the standings, and it's like...
That's the thing, because...
How am I supposed to be worried about a team who's third in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, I feel the same exact way. Like, I'm not overly... I don't think any Islander fan is overly happy with what they've seen from this team, for the most part, throughout the season. Like, yeah, they picked it up for sure, but for the most part, it's kind of been somewhat of a disappointment coming off of the season they had last year. But
yeah, well, you can
kind of... But at the same time, they're so high in the conference, just like you said.
Yeah, I mean, that all started in the offseason, I think.
Yeah.
With the moves that they made, I mean...
Lack of moves.
Lack of moves.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I hate saying this, but I told you the moves the Capitals made in the offseason, I loved them. I loved every single one of them, and it's really paying off for them.
Yes. So far, they've all been good. They've all turned out great, and
we'll have a nice look at them tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game for sure.
So, like, in the third spot, I mean, is there anything, is there a move that you would make to help the team? I mean, you hear about, what is Justin Drone from Lightning. Is he a possible name you would look at?
I would love him, for sure. I've been high on him since the Lightning drafted him. He was nasty coming out of juniors. He just hasn't been given his full-on shot to... come out in the NHL and be that and get that chance.
Like you said, he's a young guy, so the asking price is going to be relatively high.
Yeah. So it's just, it really depends on what the Islanders, I feel like it depends on what the Islanders are feeling about their own prospects. You have Dal Colle, who's been having a down year in juniors this year, after the year he had last year. You had the whole incident with Hosang in the beginning in training camp. You don't know if he's on the shit list or not, so...
But he's playing great, by the way, playing
great. Yeah, yeah. So you don't know what their feeling is on these guys. So maybe they want to do a change of scenery, and it could work out that way, but I don't think the Islanders are going to... That's their main focus.
The main focus. I also think the Lightning will want a proven player, because, you know, they're a team that was just in the Stanley Cup last season, so...
Literally right there.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. I don't know... To this point, we're almost halfway through the season. What grade would you give the Islanders' season so far?
I mean, I guess I'd have to go a B, just because of where they are in the standings, how they've turned it on as of late.
I also feel like...
And overcoming injuries that have...
Very true.
They have been crazy injuries outside of the Boychuk one recently, but they've still had to overcome them, just like every team in the NHL.
Just about to lead up to our next topic is... Johnny Boychuk going down hard on New Year's Eve with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching the game a little bit. I missed some of it. And then I saw it the next morning, the highlight of it.
Yeah.
And you knew I knew right away, like, damn, he's gonna be out a long time. Like, he just went down hard into the boards.
And you know it's bad when a guy like Johnny Boychuk doesn't get up right away or
Yeah.
doesn't, because he I think Eric Kornick, he's the Islander statistician, I think for MSG Networks,
Yes.
but he had a stat that Johnny Boychuk was the only, I think, the defenseman to play every single game in the Islanders for the Islanders in the calendar year of 2015. That's
Wow.
playoffs last season and this season. So I mean, when you get a guy like that and he doesn't get up right away, you know it's got to be something pretty serious. And it came out that it's 4 to 6 weeks, so it's definitely significant. And you could probably guarantee that there's not going to be any Hamonic trade this year
This year, yeah.
until the off season.
No,
I
I
mean,
agree. I mean, unless,
unless you somehow get two guys for the
oh,
price of one.
or even if, yeah,
Two
or if.
NHL ready guys, because they want that NHL ready guy. And if you're trading away Hamonic, who is your replacement to Boychuk right now, and you're going with Pelech and Pulak, which they've been have been beyond hesitant to start one of them, let alone two, it's
Well,
not
that's what I was gonna say next. I mean, you look at like almost the same play type. I feel like Pulak would be great. You know, not a him and Boychuk almost have the same type of play as a
almost.
defenseman,
Pulak is definitely more offensive minded,
yeah,
but than Boychuk is. But
both have rocket
both have
shots
big
though.
shots. Yeah.
I mean, and Pulak, he just ill. It seems like he's never gonna get the chance.
I mean, as of right now, not really. It doesn't look like that. But I mean, Pelech, from what I've seen of him at the NHL level this year, filling in even just recently, the last game, he's looked really good, and I really like what I've seen from him. And they should give him every opportunity that is given with this Boychuk injury, and stop playing around with Strait, stop playing around with Zidlicky. If you want to still platoon them two, go ahead, but let Pelech get into a groove. Don't keep sitting him and putting him back in the lineup in and out every single game. He'll not get into a groove.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing. You know, we have a coach that never plays with the lines.
Yeah, never ever.
Yeah. You know, Cappy always keeps the same lines and
Oh.
he never changes things up, so I mean, that's good.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's frustrating. I
See, that
agree.
that's what I feel like this season has been. It's just been frustrating. It hasn't even been bad. It hasn't been overly great. It's
No.
just been frustrating in so many different ways.
I mean, you've gotten Strome's been bad.
Yeah, he hasn't been good at all.
Big regression. Lee as well.
Yeah.
Bracusson on signs here and there. I mean,
He's playing with JT, so you should be doing that, in my opinion anyway, when you're with a guy like that.
I agree. I mean, Franz Nielsen has been awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll get into him a little later on.
And your goaltending has been
That's the bit I was just about to
insane.
say. I mean,
Yeah.
we're getting stuff out of Grice that, I mean, we didn't expect.
No. And that's the thing. When you get a guy who's like playing out of his mind, you would hope to have, like, yeah, we're in third in the conference, but you would hope for when a guy like Greiss is playing out of his mind, when you did not expect that at all, and it's an added bonus, that you're even higher in the standings or even further away from the rest of the pack, and
Yeah.
they're just not.
Anyway, moving on to the next topic. The New York Islanders are having a very hard time drawing at the Barclays Center, which I guess you would say expected.
Somewhat, but at the same time, not completely expecting,
Right.
because they thought that all of Brooklyn would be coming out every night.
Yeah. They're averaging 12,977 per game. That's 29th in the league.
Goo.
Ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes.
For a team that's third in the conference, just remember that. Like,
And now
that's crazy.
they're trying to think of more ways to get fans in attendance. I want to ask you, if we were at the Collie, what would the attendance be? What do you think? Better?
I think it would definitely be better. I don't know if it wouldn't be like 70,000 sellouts or like 16,000
No, but I
per
think
night
you'd
or anything
be
like that.
more of middle in the pack of the league.
Yeah, I would definitely say around like the 15 to 20 range rather than 29th. It's like I would hope anyway. And coming off the season that they had, like last year is just such a hard thing to compare to because it was the last season there. So everyone was going,
Yeah.
A, because it was the last season there, but also because the team was, it was something that we haven't seen in a long ass time as Islander fans. So you have so many different things impacting the attendance from last year to this year. So I mean, would have taken a dip if last year wasn't the last year at the Coliseum, a little bit, but I don't know if it would have been that big of a dip, whereas this year it's 12,000 a night, and I think that we definitely at the Coliseum used to see that back in the early like the late right before 2010 and like right around there, like when the team wasn't good at all.
Yeah, I mean, when asked about how do they plan to draw more fans, this is the Islanders' answers. Three ways. We have to continue to market very aggressively. We've got to continue to do community outreach and humanize the players and get them to the grassroots level. And we have to create a sampling environment getting people to experience hockey live. So that just means they're not getting the people in Brooklyn to come out. You're getting the people from Long Island taking the LIRR
Yeah.
to come out to the games. And I know they've done a lot in the Brooklyn community. I know Nick Leddy, you've seen pictures of him doing stuff in the community. It's just, you really wonder. I mean, maybe Brooklyn's just not the place for hockey.
No, and
And let
that
me just
was the
say, the
thing.
Nets don't draw well either, but the Nets
No,
are
they
a
don't.
very bad basketball team.
Yeah, they're god awful.
If the Nets were good, Brooklyn basketball, you know what I mean? It's almost the root, you know, of where
Yeah.
basketball. So another thing was they asked them, but how? And this was the Islanders' answer. In the third week of January, we'll kick off a multi, I don't even know how to say that actually.
Faceted.
Yeah. You reading the article too?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Multifaceted.
Seven-figure marketing campaign that gets people excited about the season and run to the playoffs and next season. A lot of people don't get excited about hockey when it starts in October. That, I mean, that's a lie.
How, what I don't even know, like that's why I don't buy anything this guy is saying. I forgot who it even was that they interviewed. Was it Brett Yormark?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was yeah. So I mean, like, it just sounds like he's just giving
I mean,
the most politically like savvy answer possible to sound like he's saying something, but he's not saying anything at all.
everyone gets excited when hockey starts back up. I mean,
Yeah.
the NHL does the, is it October yet?
Yeah,
Like,
I
how
mean
many
like,
tweets do you see?
and that's the end of baseball, so that's done. Football is only on Sundays, and that the hype is it's still there, but it's not as high as it was in September. So and basketball doesn't start for 3 weeks, so I don't know what the hell he's talking about because all of hockey, all the hockey fans get way excited. I get excited just because the free preview for NHL Center Ice on TV comes on for a week for free, just so I can watch other teams. So I don't know what he's talking about that no one gets excited about hockey when it starts in October. That just doesn't make any sense. And you're really gonna blame that for still not selling any tickets in November or December? Where like what are the excuses then? Oh, they're still asleep? Like get like you're pulling answers out of your ass, you are Mark, and you're really pissing a lot of the Islander fans off and you're doing no help to yourself with any of these answers that you're giving.
And then he went on to say the enthusiasm rises in January, and most teams experience between a 10% to 20% lift.
Yeah, well, obviously
Yeah.
when that's like the dead of winter and literally nothing else is going
It's
on, like
that.
that doesn't mean that you just give up on the first 3 months of the season. Like that's
I'm
just
shocked. I'm shocked he didn't go out and say, oh, well, the Mets are in the World Series.
yeah,
And
like
like blame
another yeah, just
point
name
every
another
other
excuse.
finger.
Yeah. Like
Massar.
it's as if they're battling with 25 other teams for one night in Brooklyn all every night and doesn't make any sense.
So let's be honest. Marketing isn't going to work. So I want to ask you, how would you go about getting more fans in the building?
Honestly, I'd probably try and do something with the LIRR and try and discount prices on train tickets, because outside, like, that's a big thing for me. I don't feel like spending money to go to an arena I don't really like at all. That's just my own opinion, but that I don't find is good for hockey. And paying just to travel there is just, it's even
It is
worse.
a pain, like
I know
the
it's parking and whatnot, like in other stadiums, but still.
it's different of getting in your car and driving than getting on a train and then
Yeah, and it
having
would
to
just help
drive.
acclimate those Long Islanders who completely refuse to go on the train because they did just have to drive or did just have to take a bus to the Coliseum. Like,
As a commuter every day, I understand the LIRR is it's not good. It's very frustrating. The prices are ridiculous. I mean, but I'm gonna spin this. I think there's a better way.
oh boy.
You
What's
semi-pro this. You Flint Tropics it. Eric Bolton is still on this team.
fight a bear.
You need him to fight a polar bear after a
I
game.
would love that. I would love that.
I
Why
mean,
not?
if you tell me Eric Bolton is fighting a polar bear after an Islanders game, I'm in. That's the hottest ticket in New York, I think.
I think so for
That
sure.
beats Jerry Seinfeld at the Beacon. It beats Billy Joel, beats Mike and the Mad Dog at Radio City. That's the hottest ticket in New York.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Just seeing, I don't even know how else to react to that other than definitely.
I thought as soon as I was thinking about that, that's the first thing that comes up to mind is semi-pro. That and like corn dogs.
Corn dogs,
Yeah.
Jackie.
So I mean, but in a serious, I don't know how. I mean, I think the LIRR thing is a great idea, but I think the LIRR is too stubborn. They
Yeah, no,
won't do that.
they won't do it. This would have to be all on the Islanders' like expense, and as of right now, they're not going to do that.
I
So,
mean, better giveaways, maybe
more giveaways for sure.
what the Mets do for like
Yeah,
April and May, buy one ticket, get one free.
I like honestly, I really don't know what it could be, other than the travel or just not being convenient to the fans that are on Long Island. I think that's basically it, and I feel like a lot of this is just a lot of stubborn people on Long Island that don't want to go. I mean, I'm definitely one of them.
Yeah.
But I've experienced it as well already, and I know what's there. And honestly, like, I don't blame a lot of people for not going.
No, even like.
I know it's the team, and it's the team that you root for, and everything like that. But when it's an arena that you personally don't like per se, like, I don't like it at all, and I have no inclination in going there unless I get free tickets, honestly,
Yeah.
because I don't want to contribute to it to an arena that's not good for hockey, in my personal
Yeah,
experience.
I mean, maybe, like, for me, like, I work in the city and. You know, yeah, it would be just a subway ride away, but then it's like, oh, I have to go, you know, then take the train home and then drive home. Where if they were at the Coliseum still, I look at it as, oh, I just go home, go to the Coliseum. It's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like for, I mean, we're also spoiled. Coliseum's like 30 minutes away, not even like 25 minutes away from us.
Yeah,
So,
completely spoiled, but
well, speaking of the Coliseum, it is not going to open its doors in 2016. It's going back to 2017.
yeah, and I was kind of shocked when they said they were going to open up in 2016.
And now the first event there is going to be Hofstra, Kentucky. Well,
That's
no,
what it is.
that's they had that plan for 2016, or
Oh, that's what it was.
Hofstra versus Kentucky, and that's going to move to the Barclays Center.
Oh, well, that's kind of weird for Hofstra because that kind of.
Yeah, so now Hofstra's
So
getting.
basically, everything in Hempstead is just getting relocated to Brooklyn. That's basically it. Like,
Thank you,
I,
Kate
yeah.
Murray.
Yeah. Just unbelievable.
I mean,
But I honestly, I'd never. I stopped caring about the Coliseum basically once they left because
there's no
if I,
reason to
if I,
care about it anymore.
yeah, and if I like look into it, it'll just make me miss the Islanders for being away and everything like that. It'll just bring back memories, and I haven't felt like going through that yet this year. Maybe I will at some point, but I haven't literally. When you told me this topic, I'm just like, oh, I didn't know that there was plans to open up any other
Yeah,
time. So,
Brett Yormark also came out and said that. And now the Islanders are practicing on Long Island this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's for the next four games at home. They said, I think it might be a little bit less than that, or whatever the homestand is before the next one, like, road game. And they're doing that because they're saying that a lot of players are kind of getting tired of it, or
Yep.
tired of the travel anyway, and it's tiring them out for having to come back later that night.
I agree.
They're practicing in Brooklyn.
Peter Bade interviewed Tavares, and he asked him, he's like, what's it feel like, you know? I'll read his exact tweet. Ex Tavares before the game, if it feels like Isles are playing 82 road games with, like, taking the LIRR and then staying in a Brooklyn hotel. And Tavares was like, yeah, somewhat. So, like, even the players, but outside of Grabowski and Kuhlman, they have taken Brooklyn in with stride. They're taking pictures on the streets. They're riding double bicycles through the streets of Brooklyn. I mean, we know these guys are close, but
Oh yeah, they're
they're like the Brooklyn boys.
Well, I feel like that like this could come off a little racist, but I feel like Brooklyn has a good Russian community. And I feel like or that whole area, Russia, like that like Slavic type of area. And that's where Cooley and Grabo are from. So maybe they can just fit in a lot more easily and quickly.
This feels like the
Much
Wilmer
more quick.
Flores talk.
Yeah,
I'm
this
putting
is
it in the
like I come off as like this stupid like racist piece of shit, and I'm not at all. And I apologize for everything I'm
podcast.
saying. But no, it's I do feel like they can acclimate a little bit more quickly than the rest of the team, especially when the rest of the team already had homes on Long Island. Maybe
I think most
Grabo and
I think most of them are
Kuhlman.
still living on Long Island.
Yeah. I don't know where Grabo and Kuhlman are living, but maybe when they signed here last year, they signed 4-year deals, so I mean maybe they knew that they were moving, so maybe they just got like apartments
By the
or
pictures
living
they post,
situations there.
I think they're living like across the street from the Barclays Center. I think
They
they
probably
live
live with
like
each other.
in the basement of Modell's.
Yeah,
That's across from the Barclays Center.
and they probably just together, just playing video
Yeah.
games with each other.
All right. So the final thing we're going to talk about is the rosters for the All-Star game came out today, and John Tavares has been selected.
Yeah.
But a lot of Isles Twitter was upset by Franz Nielsen getting snubbed.
Yeah, and I get that the Islanders would only get one this year, whatever. That's fine. But and I get why it was Tavares, just because he's the face of the franchise and he's pretty much one of the faces of the NHL at this point.
Yeah.
And his marketability is just crazy. So I get why they did it, but I'm with the rest of Isles Twitter and everyone else, thinking that Franz was definitely more deserving. I mean,
Oh, I mean, there's.
he's just been great in so many different ways, and there's just Tavares is not having a Tavares year at all. He's not even the team's leading scorer. The whole reason for it was definitely just because he's John Tavares, and that's fine. That's great. Whatever. And
I
it's nice
also.
to actually have that as an Islanders fan when we haven't had that in years. When we used to go All-Star games where we didn't even get someone on the roster. So it's nice to finally have a franchise and marketable player that the NHL actually likes.
Now, you're a big NHL All-Star game guy, right?
I used to be,
You
yeah.
used to be? Okay.
I don't
I
know.
just think this is typical All-Star game stuff. This is how the voting goes, and it's always
Yeah.
the big name players. It's just
Yeah.
that's how it goes. I mean,
I mean, John Scott got
exactly.
freaking voted in, so
He let
and
the fan
Crosby was left off the team too. So it's
Crosby
just
didn't make it?
it's like a lot of crazy. They left him off the roster. Yeah.
I didn't know
So
that.
yeah.
That kind of changes my thing. I know
Yeah.
Scott, I mean, is he even playing? I know he's with the Coyotes, right?
I think he's with the I'm pretty sure he's with the Sharks.
I don't even know.
But he's just a goon, and they vote him in for a 3-on-3 tournament. That's just
That should go over well.
like cool. Like that's great, NHL fans. You're really making this sport look a lot better.
I know, like I said, I think it's just all-star game tactics. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's great that we actually have someone.
He is on the Coyotes, by the way, John Scott.
I thought so. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's nice having that guy He's one of the faces of our team and of the league. All right, that's gonna wrap up another episode. We're gonna try and sneak in a video one in the next couple of weeks. We're gonna be bringing guests on to join us so you don't have to just hear us. Make sure you're reading and following Isle's blog on Twitter. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at JFunk33.
And I'm at it_just_Greg. It's weird to say a new one.
So simple.
Yeah, a lot easier.
All right, that's another episode of PTA Isles. Well, let's go.
You've been listening to PT Isles, presented by Isles Blog. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at IslesBlog and tweet us your comments, questions, and topics using the hashtag PTIsles. You can watch every episode by subscribing to the IslesBlog YouTube channel or view it at nyislesblog.com. To listen to PT Isles and the IslesBlog podcast, search for IslesBlog and subscribe via iTunes.